Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This is another day the Lord has made. We thank you, Lord, for another training day. We thank you. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go right into prayer. Amen. Continue. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to come before your people. It's truly a great privilege, Lord, to be able to share your word. We thank you, Lord. We believe in you for even more revelation as we delve into this area of prayer. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you have entrusted us with your power. Father God, I ask that you bless the heart of each and every hearer. Amen. Here, now, and even after the rapture, that they will be enriched, amen, with the revelation of your word and recognizing how you have empowered us to succeed. Father God, we're asking that you bless, amen, the leadership, the each and every pastor, and all those that are involved, and particularly those that are teaching their people. Lord, I ask that you would strengthen them with might. Continue to let your angels encamp around about them. I ask that you continue to bless Runner for Christ Ministries, Word of Faith Ministries, amen, and Straight Gate Ministries, and Bahama Faith Ministries. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that you continue your outreach, amen. Even those as far away as in Africa, Lord, that you would touch them, bless them, amen, strengthen them with the revelation, amen. Hallelujah. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm really enthused about this because, you know, I think about this, you know, it's you know, years ago, and even probably still in some churches, they used to have a class called catechism. And that was for, now it's called new members. And that is because it's a catch-up class, basically. Because, you know, when you come into this, you're coming into something that's really quite deep. And it's the equivalent of learning a new language. You know, it's a lot to become familiar with. And what happens and what causes so many people to have failed at it is not being properly taught and not really understanding what this is all about. This is why we have so many variations. The one thing you do not want to do as a Christian, now I don't know where you're going to church, but I tell you, you need to visit the Bible class. And if they don't have a Bible class, you need to seek God about another church. Because the church, for more than anything, is to teach you. This is why God gave us apostles. God sent apostles to go and start works. Amen. And prophets are kind of like a governor over the churches. They're the mouthpiece of God, and a lot of things come through them. We've gotten a lot of revelation in the last 20 years that it was always available. It wasn't that God held it back. But some things you'll find with God, if you don't reach out, you won't get them. And because that way you will find frequently the word, and when Jesus spoke, is seek. So if you have to seek something, that means it's not really going to be laying up on the surface. He says, seek and you shall find. He didn't say, look and you shall find. He said, seek. That's a different type of word that requires some effort. Because, like, again, when you read the Bible, it's complex. You can tell it was not designed by man. Man writes in a specific order. You know, I've seen them try to adopt a movie similar to the Bible, which, you know, made the movie more interesting. But the Bible's always been that way. It's the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. You know, again, you got events in the book of Revelation that was written in 96 A.D. that occurred before the earth was made or remade, you know, or it occurred before man was made. I definitely know that. So, but this issue here, you know, when you read a statement by Jesus and he say, ask and it shall be given unto you, you really think you wonder, well, why is there so many people struggling in life if it's that easy? Well, do the math. If the vast majority, And it's sad, the majority of Christians are struggling. It ain't that easy. It ain't that hard. He done did the heavy work. He done made the way. He done opened up the door. He done made the connection. He done gained us access. Jesus gained us access. But this was the beginning of a plan. You know, don't measure 5,000, 6,000 years and think that it's a. You got to compare time based on God, not on man. Man been around. I know they try to say we've been here millions of years, but that's because they confuse. Man has only been here, I don't know, 6,000 years. You know, the earth, ain't no telling how old it is, okay? That's a different issue. So and again, science is finding out that we are such complex creatures. The more technology has developed, they are better able to understand that man isn't as simple as he seems. Because a lot of things they thought in the past, they're finding out aren't true. You know, our makeup, our humanity. You know, one of the confusing aspects that doctors have had to learn is they know the body is by design supposed to repair itself repeatedly. We know we grow new skin. This is why you got to take a shower. You have to wash off dead skin. We got all these variations. And then, I mean, think about this. You eat a certain food, and the food goes into your body, does a chemical analysis, and then is distributed to the parts of the body that need it. And what's not needed, it disposes of. That's not an accident. That's on purpose. And what they when they formerly thought the body was doing all that autonomously, now they realize there's an entity inside the body controlling all that. Now this has become what the Bible, as they say, science is catching up with the Bible, and they're still a long way behind. But they're realizing that the Bible was right. Is a spirit. He has a mind, will, and emotion called a soul. And he lives in the body. And he, you know, so you really, like I say, all this has always been in the Bible. But the issue is the Bible repeatedly say, ask me, seek me, ask me, seek me, ask me, seek me. Okay? And those are generalizations. Abraham, which I'm going to be talking about him today, because one of the, I'm talking about rules of prayer. And one of the rules of prayer is you must be in Christ. You know, I know people think you can pray, you know, you can pray, but see, you want to pray with assurance. You have no assurance if you're not in Christ. See, and that's a major. And Christ is the only way. You got to have an understanding of the complete picture. So it's going to take some time to unfold all that. And one of the things that I want to talk about, being in Christ, what that represent, I want to try as simply as possible to explain a covenant. See, there's an agreement that exists between God and man. And that is what Christ represents, an agreement between God and man. Now, I want you to go with me to, let's see, Genesis chapter 17. Let me look. Genesis 17, and we're going to look at some verses here. This is not the first covenant, but it is the most recent covenant. It is the most powerful covenant. It is the longest standing covenant. And Christ links us to this covenant. Now, you have to understand, and when you read the Bible, you find, okay, like people, we know people now that who are what we call Jews, okay? Your first Christian was Jews. But a Jew really was an identity of a person's that lived a certain lifestyle, and their lifestyle was based on the commandments and statutes of the true one and only God. All the other cultures had multiple gods. Like over in India now, they say India has some 2 million gods, you know, which to me, if you got to have that many gods, they can't be God. But God repeatedly say in the book of Isaiah and other places that there is none other. And that's a bold statement, because you had to be able to back that up, and he can. Okay? Now, a covenant is a binding legal agreement between two parties, where they going to look out for each other. In our case, I mean, the only thing we can look out for God is his feelings, and his feelings is toward man because of his plan. His plan is to have a family that will rule and reign with him throughout the earth, throughout eternity, not only on the earth, but wherever he takes it, you know, with specificity. And it is to make provision. The greater party really give their assets or access and authority to the lesser. In this case, is us. So Abram, when he started out, his name was Abram, A-B-R-A-M. And later on, God changed his name to Abraham, or Abraham, as people like to pronounce it, you know. He knows his name. But anyway, and the difference is back then and even now, they didn't just give out names. They gave out names with meanings. And in Abraham's case, the name changed from Abraham, meaning he was father of many nations. And that's what God promised him. So I want to read with right now, starting out with Genesis 17. Now, you have to understand, Abraham did not meet God till he was 75 years old. So if you start out late in life, then you got good company. You know, Moses started his ministry at 80, you know, because with God, is like get it done, the age is irrelevant. You know, what they call it, energize you. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And that's a powerful statement. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Okay. Amen. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. And I don't want to go through all the conversation, because it's quite lengthy, because the main thing that I want you to get is that there is a covenant, and it began with a man named Abraham. Now, Abram is responsible for two primary groups of people right now, and that are the Jews, the Israelites, and the Arabs. But I'm not going to get in there. If you get in there and you read in the book of Genesis, you'll find out how that came to pass. What bottom line was, in the process, when Abraham, mind you, at the age of 99, you know, this guy don't have no kids. He don't have no children. And yet God is telling him, now, you know, at 99, at that time, life had come down to where we are now, where lifespan was, you know, between 100, I don't think anybody got past 120. So Abram, when God told him that, you know, that was kind of a large taking. So anyway, in the process of doing that, you know how we do. We try to help God out. We figure, bottom line, this is what went down. Let me give you the shorty on it. Abraham, God promised Abraham he was going to have a child. He was 99. His wife was 90, so things wasn't looking too good. So Abraham's wife suggested. She, you know, Abraham was rich and had a handmaid and a bunch of servants. Actually, he had his own army. Sarah, his wife, suggested that Abraham go and lay with her handmaid, who was young, and get her pregnant, and that'll be the promised child. But that wasn't the case. And that And his bottom line is where his name was Ishmael, and that is where the Arab family come from. And they are. And the one thing you have to remember, there's a promise. I want to skip back. I want you to remember this, because if you don't remember anything, you got to remember this. Now, this is going back when God, when he approaches Abraham, and he's telling Abraham to leave his country. The reason is because of the influence. Again, like I said, Abraham was raised up in a culture where there was, I read one commentary, actually I did a paper on that when I was in the Bible Training Center, and that was Abraham's, it said that Abraham's family had 57 gods, and they chided him when he said, you know, Father, there's only one God. I met him, and he told me he is all there is. And, you know, and imagine, and their logic, you know, like you got to have a God like you have companies. You got to have a multiplicity of employees and all this, that, and the other. But you know what they did wrong, like a lot of people? They didn't speak out into the universe and ask God for an answer. And that's what you have to do in every situation. You know, I don't belong to the same church that my family brought us up in, but not that, and probably because the doctrines didn't evolve with the revelation that God began to give out later on. Because see, I don't set limits. I try to find out why I'm limited. That's what I'm trying to do with this prayer. A lot of people don't pray. One, they don't know their responsibility to pray because they don't know there are different types of prayer. Two, they probably don't get answers when they do pray. And there's a reason for that. And I've laid out, if you go back and read, I talked about the fact you can't hold nothing against anybody, like I'm talking about now. You got to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can't live in sin. You can't just practice it. And don't even, you know, because you're supposed to take, it's like exercising. The more you practice, the stronger you get. So these are things you got to control what you say. All this is in the Bible. But the problem is most people, the percentage of Christians, 90%, 90 above 90, 98, 95, you know, went up. I was told it was 85, but you know, it may be 85 in America, but they don't pray, and they haven't read the Bible. God is economical. If you don't make an effort, he's not going to make an effort to give you revelation when you have made none. That's just being logical. Seek and you shall find. And if you don't seek, you're not going to find. And Satan don't care. See, once you've taken on that Christian identity, listen, people in the flesh, humans, can't tell you a Christian. Demons can tell that you're a Christian. They see your spirit. They see the Holy Spirit on your spirit, and they know you're a Christian. And then they listen to you because they know what the Bible say. And then they listen to what you say, listen to what you do, and they respond to that. They know when you being out of the word and out, which is out of the will of God. They know it. So you don't, you know, it behooves you to get this. And I mean, there are lots of videos, and I know you have to take a lot of the teachings that people have and treat it like, you know, fish and eat meat, throw out the bones. But above all, you got to stick to the word and what works. Because, like I say, there's a lot of crazy stuff. I've already had people respond to me, tell me that the royal priesthood is not the entire body of Christ. You know what? A person, and then my response is, tell me about your prayer life. See, if you don't have a prayer life, that means you're not talking to God. That don't mean, really, how serious are you taking God? So how serious should he take you? See, so when you tell me you pray every day for an hour or more, and then you know how to intercede, and then you can explain prayer to me, see, you don't have that person don't have that revelation, because they didn't ask God about it. Because that's the other thing. Is that what you got when you ask God? You know, it's amazing. I get that all the time. But when I come to, did you ask God about it? I get looks. No, that should be instant. That should be instant. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 7, people quote it. They even quote it. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Well, see, you know, what do you mean acknowledge? Tip your hat or what? See, this thing is serious. And look where we are in time and history. Listen, the age of the church, I'm going to probably say this on every broadcast, the age of the church is closing. God has already done all he's going to do. It's on us now. You know, folks out there in California, listen, if y'all don't get right and get to praying, that whole state will burn down. Ain't nobody can stop. God has given access to the power. I've heard that you got pastors saying crazy stuff. I'm like, okay, one thing about it, like I said, you can get crazy. Satan already know what is and what ain't. Them demons know. And they'll abuse you, and they think nothing of it. They don't have emotions. They don't feel sorry for you. They ain't your friend. They ain't friendly. Okay, so but the thing here I want you to get is Abraham. But Genesis 12:2. Now this still applies to today, and that's why I'm saying this. And it says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land where I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, let me show you how powerful that is. In Matthew chapter 1, throughout the Bible, you have genealogies, you have family histories, and it gives you, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and about the time of this, and then so-and-so, all right? Well, when you get Jesus' genealogy, it does not start with Adam. It does not start with Noah. It starts 1,000 years after Noah with Abraham. Telling you something real significant that God just said, through you, because the whole world now can only be blessed through Jesus Christ. People fight. They war over that. But that's the reality of it, and it's about to become a clear reality. But the thing here, you know, we don't get an opinion on this. This is not negotiable. This is not opinion, UN can't deal with this. Okay, they can't change this. What they can receive is the curse of this. Let me give you an example. You know, when the British nation, they used to say that the flag never goes down, the sun never goes down on the British Empire. They had expanded throughout the world. Every place the British flag was almost everywhere except the United States. The British turned on Israel. Now, in the world's eye, it didn't seem like such a big deal. But their empire diminished all the way down to the small island that it is now. Went from a worldwide, I'm talking about in the last 100 years, went from a worldwide empire down to an island that almost got eliminated by Adolf Hitler. And the only reason it didn't get eliminated, because the Christians in America stood up behind them. See, that's how powerful that is. And the reason Hitler is burning in hell is because he turned on the Jews. See, you don't get a personal. God said this. You know what? Most of the Israelites over there have not yet. It's amazing. The first Christians were Jews. Okay, we're Israelites, and the majority, there's still a high percentage of them that still don't accept Jesus as Savior and want until he returns. They're going to survive the tribulation period, some of them anyway, okay? But God guards them highly simply because he made a promise. And one thing about God, when he make a promise, that promise will never, it's kept. See, and this again relates to submission. Everything comes back to submission. How you take this, how you view this, how you think tells God, because you're going to be dealing with them. That's who we're going to be dealing with during the millennial period. That's who we're going to be dealing with. We're going to be to them what Jesus is to us during that time period. They'll still be in the natural flesh. We'll be in the incorruptible flesh with access to a tremendous amount of power, and we still got to deal with them, and they got human ideas, human thoughts, human ways that we have now. And we got to relate to them the same way. See, now, that's where it comes to this. See, you're saying, what has that got to do with prayer? One, like I say, if you got this disorder, your prayer going to get hindered. That's the one thing. One, you got to have a covenant with Abraham. Two, you can't violate the covenant that God has with Abraham. You don't get it. I don't care if my whole family and everybody I know turn on Israel. I'm not. Simply because if I turn on them, I'm turning on God. And I can't beat him. And I don't even want to. I mean, I like it the way it is, you know. See, these are the reasons you're seeing things happen in the world. I've seen nations going down right now suffering because of this issue. See, that you can rationalize in your mind that this ain't such a big deal, but the reality, there's countries suffering starvation, I mean, because of this. This thing is serious. Now, let me give you a kicker, okay? Let's go to Galatians 3, verse 29. Now, I'm going to show you where you come into the picture at. And the thing that you have to remember about this, okay? Let's read this first. I'm going to start with verse 26. For ye are, now this is Paul talking to the Galatian Christians who are Gentiles, okay? And he's clarifying some things here. Okay, now you have to understand, if you got to study Apostle Paul, who was a Jew, he was a Pharisee. I mean, he was Paul was a doctorate of the doctrine. Okay, he was up in there. He'd tell you about it. It says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Man, it's so easy to get there. Let me stick with the program. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That's so good. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And this the key phrase. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is Paul saying, through Christ, the promise that God made to Abraham belongs to you. So why would you hinder your prayer when God has promised to answer your prayer by keeping the covenant? That's simple. Don't turn on your family. You know, family is, you know, when I come up in the family, you don't mess with family. This is the weirdest thing. You don't mess with family. I remember I have my brother. I ain't going to say which one either. But I had a particular brother. Like, when I was growing up, see, we didn't do shooting and stabbing. Well, not a lot of it anyway. But it's like every Friday, there would be these fights after school. Sometimes on Thursday. It's like the Friday fight. It's a tough guy thing, you know. And I have a brother that just liked fighting. I really was surprised he didn't become a professional boxer. But anyway, and so when I would see the crowd gathering, I knew it was a fight. I would go and peek into the crowd to see if it was my brother. Now, this is how it goes. If it was just him and one other person, and I didn't care how big the person was, if it was just one other person, then I would just watch. But now, if it was two, I would get in it. Now, it ain't going to be no double teaming, okay? You don't mess with it. And my brother, he got on my nerves. He got old man, that dude, me and him, we fought, okay? I mean, we had some knockdown, drag-out fights. He was just strange that way. But I would not let you fight him. You could not fight. And most families were that way. You didn't mess with the Page family, the Green family, the Williams family. You did not mess. mess with the family. You mess with one, you mess with the rest. Christians should be that way, particularly with those that are non-Christian. God expects that. I don't get that. If you don't, when you go before the throne, guess what? You're going to get a closed door session, and you're going to be on the outside looking in. See, these are the things that Satan do that keep you, and that covers the whole body. It does not. If the person has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I don't know, it does not matter where y'all disagree in doctrine. If they've taken on a denominational title, that's irrelevant. The point of connection is just like me and my brothers are all connected through the seed of my father and the womb of my mother. We all got different personalities. God, if God thought we was going to all be on one accord, the word love wouldn't have been necessary. If you read the list of the fruit of the Spirit, it tells you right there that you're not going to be on one accord all the time with people. And he would tell you in Romans 12:18, as much as possible, peace, live at peace with all men. But this is about grasping your emotion. Why? So you can maintain your flow of power. See, listen, this thing, it takes a while to get. But you got to understand, it's not just for now, it's for eternity. But again, there's a greater level of authority and power that is going to be given to us. But if we can't handle it at this level, look at it from God's end. If I can't handle it at this level, why would I give a person full access? I mean, why, that don't even, I think it's dangerous. I hear Christians say things, and see, there's a scripture, Ecclesiastes 8:11. That's another one of them scriptures. You know, some scriptures you read, that was one of them, I call them epiphany scriptures. And when I read it one time, I didn't need no theological breakdown on it. I knew what it meant. And it was going to become my doctrine, and I wasn't going to have to grow into it. It was to become instant, and it didn't matter give me a second here. It didn't become something that I had to think a lot about. Or I like grow into this, Some things you struggle with and some things you don't. This was one. It says, because sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed. Sentence against an evil deed is not speedily executed. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men continue in their way. And in its simplicity, it says, don't think because you didn't get a lightning bolt to hit you right away that God is in agreement. And this is what I see going on in the world today. There are things and practices. I heard a pastor. I kind of wish it was like it was in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. He lied to Peter. But Peter said, "You lied to the Holy Spirit within me," basically. And they dropped dead instantly for a simple lie. But what would happen if people lied about their tithes now? Oh, man, churches be having funerals just like now. They're having funerals 7 days a week. See, so there's a something to get a little, okay, where am I at? Abraham. Keeping that relationship with Abraham, keep it in the family. Bottom line is, I want to keep the focus on having a covenant with Christ. You got to protect the covenant. You got to protect it on your end. God will keep his promise, but you have to protect your end of the promise. And that is, if you are God is your originator of ignorance of his word is no excuse. You know, they have a saying, say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, God is the originator of that in Leviticus chapter 4. You know, they had the priests had to make an offering for sin for people that may not know they have sin. You know, but they didn't have Bibles like we have. So not read, and what do you tell God when you can read and you didn't read? How do you explain that away? How do you rationalize that to him? See, you'll be blessed. Now, the Bible is clear in 1 Corinthians 3. There's going to be some Christians that make it in by the skin of their teeth, as they would say, barely. But you got to understand that you really want to make more effort at this, particularly now. I mean, right now, there's some 32% of Americans are behind on their mortgage and they rent because of the pandemic. But, you know, at the same time, some of them should be doing something they don't normally do, like selling on eBay, you know, buying on Alibaba, selling on eBay. That's a hint. That's a hint. Don't say I told you that, but... But, you know, and to make that happen, see, knowing to do something, but to be able to succeed at it to the level that you need to succeed at it, again, goes back to how are you in relationship to the promise, to the rules of, to God's commandments and statutes. That's basically, because, see, everything that I'm laying out here, not only relates to prayer, it relates to all the promises of God. And that's the thing that you got to, these perceptions, precepts, all relate to the promises of God. Regardless, you need healing, these precepts the same. It's all the same. You can't have nothing to get. What a block healing is, you're not one if you're not in Christ. Satan, see, when you're not in Christ, you're under Satan's rule. And God abides by the law. See, Satan is the god of this age. So to override that is you accept Jesus Christ, that brings you into the kingdom of God. God can override the rule. See, he has to work around that, and a lot of people have made assumptions, and we're at a particular time. I had a prophecy several years ago that we weren't going to be, if you weren't doing your part, you weren't going to be receiving your part. You know, and that's where we are at right now. And I'm seeing Christians die. I call them early arrivals because they're so used to not praying, not tithing, not seeking the will of God, being in the place where they should be, so many different aspects, and as a result, Satan is taking them out. What he is doing is decreasing the opposition to him. See, think about it. Every Christian that leaves, Christians are the only one that, only Christians can pray for a person to get saved. Only Christians can do that. Only Christians would do that. I mean, it's not likely that a Muslim is going to pray for a Christian to get saved by Jesus Christ. There ain't no Buddhists. They don't even have a God. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. But I got that from a Buddhist, a practicing Buddhist. Now, that's what he told me. They operate with a concept. Okay, and then, you know, you got the Russian church, which is, you know, Putin is God, and then China, Xi Jinping is God, and, you know, you got that. They ain't going to be praying for somebody, and they don't have the authority. They're not recognized in heaven, okay? So that's one aspect, all right? Again, like I say, this is something. Follow up on that, back it up, read it. But this is what you're going to constantly run across when you read the New Testament. See, it may seem repetitive. It's so repetitive that Reader's Digest, it used to be a book publishing company, and they were going to remove all the duplication from the Bible. And after they had removed all the duplication from the Bible, they were left with 8 pages. So that's where the emphasis is. But again, you're talking about God is developing an eternal being, a God-class being, with a tremendous amount of responsibility. when you read through the Bible, cross-reference, you got a Bible on your phone or on your computer, cross-reference the word angel, and look at all the activity that angels do, particularly in the book of Revelation and in the book of Isaiah and in the book of 1st and 2nd Kings. Look at what them angels do, and then think, you have at minimum, 100 times their power. And that'll give you some idea. I'm telling you, I know it sounds like I'm talking out my head when I'm saying that you have more power than all the nuclear arsenal on the planet by yourself, but you're a God-class being. And it wasn't always obvious until I heard that. I mean, that burned in my spirit. God, small g, let me get that clear, because I know a preacher got fried, died, and laid to the side when they accused him of starting false doctrines, and he said man was a god. I don't get that, but when people hate you, they will always look for the wrong. I knew he was talking with a small g. I knew that. But he also was trying to get us to understand who the Holy Spirit was. And that's when the conversation, when people start addressing Holy Spirit instead of calling the Holy Spirit, you know. But anyway, so that we all that to say, you got to be in Christ. And that gets you into the royal priesthood of God. That gives you access to the power of God. And that's how you come out on the winning end. That's what you see when the children of Israel, when you read in the Old Testament, and God is very verbal in the Old Testament, when they lose battle, one particular battle that stands, it's called the Battle of Ai. And the children of Israel, when they have won, they have been throwing down and beating down everybody they came across. And it didn't matter. The army could be 10 times as large as them. And when God said go up, when God told the man of God, tell them to go up, they would go up and thrash them. Okay, so they sent them down. Like I live in a small city where the population is like 8,000, and the city next to me have a city of 800,000. So it was kind of like that city with 800,000. They sent 30,000 men to take out 8,000 men, and we whooped them so bad we would cut. Back then they would, to embarrass you, men wore them like skirts. Like things, and you know, like a gown or whatever you want to call it, and they would cut it off at the bottom, so when they would leave, you could see their behind, and that's what happened to them. And they was just beat down. They never got beat down, and they're like, wait a minute, we done took down army 10 times our size, and then we come up against this little army, and we can't take them out, and they thrash us. What's the problem? Well, God told me it was sin in the camp. I believe that's in Judges chapter 6, but Joshua chapter 6, but you got to read that. See, little issues like that. Solomon said, little foxes destroy the vine. See, they chew on the bottom, let the sap drain out, and they end up killing the vine. See, so you got to be, Satan is subtle. It said that, if you go back and read the book of Genesis, it says he was the most subtle, slick is the word. He was slick. See, he know these little nuances, and people just say stuff, and that's the thing to remember when we get to the part about you can't say anything, okay? Now, we're going to move on, so you got to have a covenant. You can't have anything, I believe we talked about that already, you can't have anything, Matthew chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, can't have anything against anyone. You have to be forgiven with good reason. You know, you're going to need God to forgive you. And you're dealing with human beings. You're dealing with human beings that have to deal with an opposer who is not visible to them, who is more intelligent than them. And you're going to have to, what your response is Galatians chapter 6. So let's read that. Go to Galatians chapter 6. It says, brethren, wait a minute, let me switch Bibles here. I love this. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, who are you Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. See, this, you know, it's one of the things they teach you is color codes. I don't remember because I've been retired for 3 years. But basically, white code means you, when you're at home, you're feeling secure, you're feeling relaxed, you don't feel no threat. But red is obviously red alert, be on alert. When you go out of the house, you should be on alert. Okay, same thing spiritually. Some people, there are a lot of things that go on with people that they may know about, they may not know about them. So you can't take things to that personally. And above all, you're in a position, that's where you make this type of intercession, so that God can address the issue. And like I say, it may be that they have had, I would call it a mental breakdown. It's a mental breakdown is a disconnect of the spirit where all the right information is. It's really a broken heart, but they can't access it. It's like a barrier there. And then there's the fear factor. They're afraid that if they release that they'll be vulnerable again. But what they need is a revelation of how to defend themselves, of how to stand strong in the power of the Lord and his might. See how all this works together when it comes to this. And this is why God has authorized us to pray. And this is why we use the psychology of the word to help guide them to a stronger position. See, that all this relates. And when we don't, when we fall back into the selfish mode, when we come before God, the door is closed. Every time I've asked, I've gotten a reason, okay? And I have to check myself. It's a process. You're growing. I tell you what, it's a lot better now, because what I'm teaching you now, I don't even, back when I first started, you heard very little about. I heard the one rule, you couldn't live in sin. I didn't get really detailed teaching on covenants and how that relates to this whole affair. And then I had to go to Bible class. See, 'cause a lot of things you're not going to get on Sunday. You're usually going to get them on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday when you go. And there's a lot of little details in the Bible that causes people to miss out. Okay, so you got to be in Christ, can't hold nothing against anyone, and you cannot practice sin. I mean, do I really have to explain that? No, not really. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a favorite chapter. I know a lot of people like to quote that chapter, but there's two parts to that. Traditionally, there are more churches now that teach this than there was in the past. I mean, if you studied, that's why it's good to know church history. That explains how we got to that place. It's almost sad that we at the close of the church era and we just now getting a real revelation on how this thing's supposed to be, because they should have, I would say, 200 years after they start making the Bible a public, giving public access to the Bible where any and everybody not only could have one, but actually had one, and instead of teaching it, treating it like I've seen a lot of people treat it like it's some type of religious icon, you know. I know people that would ride them around back. If you back in the 60s and the 70s, you see people riding them around on their dashboard. It's like it protect them from having an auto accident. Now we know that before you leave the house, you command angels to go before you and protect you. See, but that wasn't written in plain language in the Bible. Just like mashing accelerator in a car ain't in the Bible. Some things you're going to have to get from God. Again, go back to the seeking factor. Some things he wants you to come to him for. I have a set of commentaries that was written in the 17th century by a man named Matthew Henry. And a lot of the same things that I am saying now, he knew back then. See, so this is not new revelation. If he had it in the 17th century, because he took the scriptures and cracked them open. But he did that by going to God. He did what the word said. He sought out God. And some pastors do and some don't. You can tell. Really, you can tell. But again, more people right now, and I guess the reason God got me going this way is because, one, you don't have to be an economist to realize Congress cannot fix what is going on right now. This is worldwide, okay? And there's plenty of evidence in the Bible that a situation like this does not say what God can do. God can supersede everything. He can cause things to happen. But there's the other player. Satan is the god of this world. So I don't want you to be in a position, God don't want you to be in a position where he can't bless you. And a lot of people, like I say, the reason why I focus on the millennials and Gen Zs, I find it kind of astounding to meet people, you know, not really because they have a college degree, but they come from a household where nobody believes God. And so now they're finding out, because a lot of people right now, they hung everything on having a degree. The Bible tells you to get knowledge. It tells you that in the book of Proverbs. So that is not an issue. But it says above that, get wisdom. See, to leave God out, and now you're into a situation that only God can fix. Like I said, you got 32% of Americans can't pay their house nor their car note. They had the degree. I've been through that process. This is not a first-time event. I used to work for a company, Chrysler plant, that no longer exists. They didn't just throw us out, but I needed God to get me through the gap. See, and I didn't even know what I know now. See, now, because I know what I know, God expects more. You know, he expects me to do those things that I do know. See, that's where he at. So, fortunately, if you knew to Christ, he's not going to hold you to the same standard that he hold me. But he's also not going to let you not utilize this information. You're going to have to step up to the plate. If you're not, like I said, one of the rules is you have to pray for somebody other than yourself. You know, in other words, that you're serving God when you do that. There really is very few things that you can do for God that is greater than that. I mean, you know, anybody can give money, but everybody cannot pray for people to get saved. God can only rely on Christians to do that. And if they don't do that, then it don't get done. All right. Now, the issue here, like I say, you want to be in a place where Satan can't block you. Okay, this is what happened in the beginning in the garden. Adam and Satan scammed Adam and Eve and wound up with control of the planet. But when Jesus showed up, I believe, and Satan tried to tempt him, he failed at it because Jesus kept putting the word back on him. He said, the word said. Now, so one, we're just going to run through a few scriptures here that show you that when you get into a place where you just are outright rebelling against God, that he will not hear you. We're going to start out in Psalm 18:41. And like I said, this is just a truth or reality of life. But again, this not only relates to prayer. This relates to every need that you have. Now, again, this relates to you can't be any old kind of way and get healed. And like I said, COVID is just one disease out there. Cancer ain't left. MS ain't left. And a lot of people, see, I would be concerned if I'm not healed. I would be concerned if my needs not met. Because I know the shortage, the failure ain't on God's end. The failure has to be on my end. Anyway, here it says, Psalms 18:41, it said, they cried, but there was none to save them, even to the Lord, but he answered them not. And he talked about the children of Israel. Psalm 66:18, similar. Well, it gets more personal. It says, let me start with 16. Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. That's some prayer. You know, my first hour of prayer begins with praise and worship. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, iniquity, bottom line is, it's not just sin, but it's something that I basically hold as a doctrine. This is what I do. This is what I think. You hear people say, well, you know, it's always that one thing. No, I don't want that one thing. And it will be. You're not, listen, unless you're God, you're not going to be perfect. But James 1:8 said, if you say you have no sin, you call God a lie. You know, all that sin that comes short of the glory of God. But what I'm saying is, you can't make it a baseball game. You can't practice this. You can't get up playing this. You can't. You should be planning not to do it rather than planning to do it. You'll find that. And one more here, Proverbs 1:28. Because just want to get clarity here. If you got to read, go back when you get a chance, read this entire chapter and memorize it. Keep it in your mind. It says, verse 27 says, when your fear cometh desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Don't that sound like today? I mean, you look at what's going on in California, Louisiana, and now, I don't know, it's so much stuff. I don't watch that much news unless I feel like praying about it. And distress, and when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear or reverence of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. See, so, you know, I've seen it lots of time, but I also see what goes with their lives. When I hear people just, you know, they rely on their humanism. They use it as an excuse to just say what they think they want to say and do what they want to do. And then their life is such a struggle. I could not live that struggle. That's too much work. I cannot live talking about having an anxiety. If you're having an anxiety attack, then you are out of the blessing of God. You're out of the peace of God. There can't be no peace of God and anxiety in the same place. And if there's no peace of God, you need to read. You got to review. Listen. You can't hate anybody. You can't. You might not like everybody, but you definitely can't hate anybody. And you got to love everybody. So you got to keep this thing in line because, like I say, we at the crux of this thing. You know, no matter what they're going to do, the Congress can only pump, fake up so much money. This thing has come down. I have never in my – nobody has seen churches close like they are now. And the reason the churches are closed – listen, God can open up – our church is open. Our church is open, you know, and it takes something, but that we use even the protocols. But still, how do you fight this thing? To fight COVID on a personal level, you have to be able to take out a disease, and it's not an uncommon. Matter of fact, I really think he's one of the weaker ones. He's just a little bit above the flu. He can take you out. Flu take you out. Cancer take you out. I fought those battles. But all these, see, this is why I'm sharing all this. Because once I had these things, I knew when I had these things in line, that I would have the victory. And it proved itself out. And that's the whole point of this. Because I knew these battles was coming, and the worst ain't even got here yet. But the best is here, and that's Jesus. You have, like, this is what I'm saying. Christianity is not just a religion. It is God trusting you with his power. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. You just have to keep your end of the covenant. And I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Perhaps this is you haven't had a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I have to give you that chance because, as I began, your number one rule is you had to be in Christ, and all it's going to take. Let me show you. This is how simple it is. Like they say, it's so simple that a 7-year-old can do it. Pray this prayer with me, dear Lord Jesus. I know that I'm lost. And I confess my sin to you. I ask you to forgive my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and save me now. And Father God, I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for cleansing me, for accepting me and blessing me, and I believe I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hold on to it. Keep the faith, and look forward to talking to you again next week, and we'll pick up. We're gonna pick up at number 4, and that's where you have to be obedient with worship and tithe. Like I say, keep your faith. Don't let Satan trick you, and if he does, repent immediately. You don't have to shout it out loud. People don't even have to hear it, but you have to verbalize it and just say, "Lord, forgive me," because you know you're gonna do that. Because, again, it's something if you can see Satan coming, but you can't, you know. And you'll be something if you got, see, you got an angel assigned to you, you got a demon assigned to you. And above all, read the word and talk to God. And if you don't know how, just keep talking. He'll teach you how. That's how I learn. And go to church. Go to church on TV. Go to church on the internet. Don't go around spiritually deprived. Okay? Amen. And visit my website, Millennial Kingdom Training. Amen. And I got some YouTube videos out too now. Our Overall Senior. That's all one word, OuroverallSenior.com or however they get through on YouTube. But I got the YouTube videos now also on my website. So this is the website, millennialkingdom.com, millennialkingdomtraining.com. Amen. And with that, I'll say bless you. Keep the faith.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing, all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug.
The need for bucks. All he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight, and everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me, and you could be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change, cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able about his children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky and make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up.
That's your boy, Ariel Jones.